I get to take a seat right here or over here. Which one you want to take a seat on, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to get going and see, inshallah, how we could benefit from some of the verses from these ajza, or from these juz of the Quran, inshallah ta'ala. So let me share some of the verses I will be going over. And hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you guys could all see that. So let me just move my screen up here a little bit here. There you go. Inshallah ta'ala. All righty. So like I said, from the 14th to the 20th, Jews of the Quran. So one thing I wanted to highlight in Surah Nahl, the first verse I wanted to go over, it's in Surah Nahl. Surah Nahl is chapter number 16 in the Quran. And Nahl in Arabic means the bee, right? Like a bumblebee, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the bee in this surah, and we're about to go over that exact verse right now. And also, one thing about Surah Nahl is actually some of the scholars called it the surah of ni'mah, because there's so many bounties, so many great things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with that is mentioned in this surah, in terms of like food, trees, you know, our hearing, our sight, etc. So many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So if you ever want to read a surah that goes over all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not all the blessings, but a great amount of blessings, help us kind of ponder on it, then chapter number 16, Surah Nahl, is definitely a good choice for you, inshallah ta'ala. Of course, all the surahs are beneficial. So the surah, the verse I wanted to go over here is chapter number 16, Surah Nahl, verse number 69, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaytanir rajim, thumma kulli min kulli thamarati fasluki subula rabbika dhulula. يخرج من بطونها شراب مختلف ألوانه فيه شفاء للناس إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يتفكرون. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, He is talking literally to the bee. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the bee. And He says, then eat from all the fruits. And one thing you know, bees, they eat the pollen from fruit trees, from flowers, right? I think we've all been in our backyard before or somewhere in the world, and we've seen a bee, and they eat that pollen, and basically they take it back to their beehives. And follow the way of your Lord laid down for you, right? Follow the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you to travel and fly around into the different areas that the bees go. There emerges from the bellies a drink. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, from the bee comes a drink, varying in colors, okay? Which you guys all know what that drink is. It's not Coca-Cola. No, it's not a mango lassi. That would be kind of interesting if it was. But it's obviously talking about honey, right? There's a drink on honey. Obviously, you could drink honey. Obviously, it's not something that would go down very easily. You'll have to, suck it down to a bit. But it's a drink, varies in different colors. And honey does come in different colors depending on the flower that it eats from. Or the pollen that it eats from. It could be dark brown. It could be a very light yellowish, like we kind of know of, if you will, has different colors in it, in which there is a healing for people. Indeed, this is a sign for people who give thought. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's a shifa'u linnas, that honey is a shifa. Okay. One thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses, mentioned in the Quran, that the Quran itself is a shifa, that if you're sick, then you could recite it, right? And that's one way that it could heal you. Of course, also take your medicines, whatever your doctors and those who are trained in the medical field advises you, right? But also that honey, don't neglect it, is a natural cure. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in the Quran. There's no arguing, no more after that. That we all know that when someone has a sore throat or a flu or are sick, they always say what? Take lemon and honey, right? It's almost universal in all different cultures. Right, just take that. And also good, Allah SWT says it's a shifa, it's just take a spoonful of honey a day, right? And just, just eat that, right? Everyone loves honey. I mean, usually medicines you don't want to drink, I don't want to eat. Sometimes it's like, it tastes so bad, some of these syrups they give you. But alhamdulillah, I'll take some honey down. I don't mind. I'll take a couple of spoons of honey, right? Alhamdulillah, it's good. Give you some energy. And alhamdulillah, it has a shifa, right? It has a shifa for those who are sick, or at least for a healing for your body, right? And that's one thing is also here, is this little note, is that to eat honey that is, organic in nature or is natural. A lot of the honeys that we have in our supermarkets is kind of watered down. It's not pure honey. They put other things in it. And somebody could sell those bottles for a lot cheaper. But the real honey is the one you want to give that's 100% pure honey. It could be filtered or unfiltered. Either one's fine, right? But it has nothing else added into it. And you can go to your local grocery stores and you can see the different variety of honeys. And usually the ones that are a little bit more are raw and organic, if you will, or it doesn't have those extra things added to it, might be a little bit more expensive, but this is something that is divinely a cure for you, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that it is a cure, that inshallah ta'ala, that we should take advantage of it. And another thing I mentioned one time, I had a khutbah that I talked about dietary points that we should have in our culture, in our masajid, in our us as being Muslims. And I would really love that all the masjids take away the white sugar that they have on that chai table in the back, usually during these nights of Ramadan, but in other nights and other places that they have it, and just put bottles of honey. Maybe you could put brown sugar, a little bit better. I know everyone's not the only one with their honey, right? It might have a little bit change of different taste, especially in coffees, but definitely in tea, it's very beautiful to have it in your tea, inshallah. So I haven't done it before. Try that. Try using that instead of sugar. Right? You say, hold on, sugar, it's natural. It comes from something called a sugar cane. Yes, it is unnatural. It does come from a thing called a sugar cane. But the way it gets to your table takes a whole different route before it's bleach white. Sugar cane, granulates, if you will, are not white. They come usually like a darker brown, if you will, or it could be a light brown, etc. Right? But they bleach that. So you're eating that bleach. All right. And another thing is that honey itself and all it digests a lot different than if you're eating pure sugar. Okay. Which like from a sugar cane or white cane, sugar, etc. So if you can, one step will be going for brown sugar. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just saying this is the health things that, you know, that we could benefit for ourselves and our Muslim community. And definitely honey is something, inshallah ta'ala, you could add to your diet, to your teas, or to your to sweetening, even baking. And like I said, just to take a spoon of it, as it is a shifa. Miraculous. I put the word miraculous here. Number one, because it's a miraculous because it gives you a cure, right? It could give you a healing, right? And so another point, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a man came to him and he said, my brother has a sickness in his stomach. What can I do? The Prophet said, give him honey. And this man's like, oh, okay. Maybe he was thinking that maybe a surah he could read, or maybe the Prophet will make special dua for him. But the Prophet told him, you know, just tell him to take honey. So the man's like, okay. So he goes back. The man takes, his brother takes honey. He got more sick. Okay. He's getting worse. And so he came back to him and came back to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, my brother is still sick. What should I do from you, brother? The Prophet said, take honey. And then I said, okay. And went back, gave him honey. Came back, and what? His brother was still sick. They asked the Prophet, what should I do? My brother is still getting sick. It's getting worse. The Prophet said, take honey. And then what? He said, okay. And then he goes, and finally the brother takes honey, and alhamdulillah, he feels better, right? And so that one thing is that when you take honey, it may be because here from the lesson we can learn from this hadith, maybe it's the portion of the honey that you need to take, and also the iman, the faith that you believe that this is going to cure you, right? If you take it like, I doubt it. Come on. I could take a medicine. You know, I could take this tablet and et cetera. I could inject myself for this. I could put this cream on me, whatever. But if you're not believing in it, then that also has an impact in it. But if you believe this, it's going to give me a shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it, then inshallah ta'ala, you would find that, right? Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains what he wants, right? In terms of if you're going to get better or not, Allah has a great plan. We're going to go over some verses that kind of indicate that. So that's one thing, inshallah ta'ala, we could all do. Why did I call this miraculous for? Is that I wanted to look at the Arabic here. Now, if you read the English translation, you're not going to pick up on a miracle here in this verse. And the miracle is that if you look at the Arabic here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ كُلِي وَمِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ فَاسْلُكِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the bee. But those who knows Arabic, when you tell someone kul means to eat, but if you say kuli, it means to eat, but you use that when you're addressing a woman, okay, or a girl, or a female, okay? For a boy, you would say kul, kul al-tu'am, and you eat the food. if there's a woman, you'll say kuli at'am. That means eat the food, but you have to conjugate it different. Arabic has, of course, a different tense for a command. If you're going to give a command to a man or a woman, in English we say eat, little boy, eat, little girl, right? This eat doesn't change, right? It's the same word to eat, a command you give to a group of people, all of you eat, right? Or one person eats, two people eats, etc. But here in Arabic, you have to conjugate it for the gender, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا. Allah says that a liquid, a drink comes from her stomach, or her stomachs, butun, right? The stomachs of the female bees, okay? And what is miraculous about this, if you do your study, you'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only addressing the female bee, okay? He's only saying the female bee, you eat, and you come from your stomach comes honey. And you'll see that if you look it up, like I was mentioning right now, is that you'll see that honey only comes from female bees, right? Male bees are also known as drone bees. They do not produce honey. They're like the workers. They go ahead, they get the pollen, they bring it back to the hive or whatever, the nest or whatever it is. And it is actually the female bees that produce honey, not the males, subhanAllah, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1400 something years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a female bee to give out honey. Where not during that time, they didn't have microscopes. They couldn't see, is this a male bee? Is this a female bee? Like, where would you look? How would you know? Allahu alam, I wouldn't know, right? The Arabs of the time, I doubt they would know, right? And so here, it's a miracle of the Quran here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses a female bee in terms of producing honey. As of course, Allah is the one that created everything. Allah definitely knows that it's only the female bee. It's not a surprise to him, right? It's a surprise to us, subhanAllah. And we say, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, that there only has to be one God, there only Allah, only one creator. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is perfect in nature and has sent down this perfect book, the Quran. And we are fortunate enough to be Muslim, to be able to read it and then benefit from it. So alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful verse to start off in our Quranic gems series for tonight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we move to Surah Maryam on a whole different note here. Surah Maryam has a lot of great points that we could take out from this surah. This is chapter number 19 in the Quran. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, and talks about how his miraculous birth and also about other prophets are mentioned in this surah. But the verse that I wanted to talk about that gives us a little bit more serious nature now when we're reading the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَّقْضِيًّا ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَذَرُوا الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جَثِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse here, he says that none of you but will pass over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the hellfire. Allah is talking about Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about what's going to happen on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an insight of what will happen on that day that all of us are so curious of how the scenes will be. How would people be looking? How is that bridge called Siratul Mustaqim, the Sirat, right? That straight bridge, right? That straight bridge that people have to pass to go over, right? How it would look like? How would that scene be, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would judge us, right? How would that voice come? How do we hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's voice? How would we see our deeds? All these different things. And of course, how would Jannah look like, subhanAllah? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the people of Jannah. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Right? Oh, subhanAllah, that would be and we can't wait to, inshallah ta'ala, get to that day. Oh, ya Rabb, please give us this, that gift, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, before all of that, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go to Jannah, inshallah ta'ala, we do what Allah, our Lord has commanded us. But before that, there's something that we all have to do. There's many things that's going to happen, that all of us have to face on that day. But one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses right here in these verses, he said, none of you, not one of you will pass over it. Meaning that all of us, every single one, good, bad, right, memorize the Quran, memorize a couple of verses. The killer, the one who was pious and never did one any wrong, right? Everyone would have to pass over the hellfire. And subhanAllah, that is so suspenseful because we don't know, right? No one knows that those individuals are passing over that hellfire. Are some going to fall over it? Or are they going to make it to the end of the bridge? Are they going to escape it? Or are some going to be sucked down into it? And subhanAllah, you don't want to even come close to Jahannam, right? I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. I don't even want to know it's over there in this direction or over there in that direction. Nobody would want, as some scholars said, the worst enemy to go in Jahannam if you knew how bad it was, how the fire was, right? The punishments that are going on in Jahannam, right? And the scary thing about me and you, my dear brothers and sisters, that we will have to pass over it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that this is a decree. كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا, right? مَقَدِيَّ. This is a decree that we must accomplish, that all of us have to go over it. And how would we know, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, save us from the fire of Jahannam, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen, that are we going to follow in it or not, right? And that is going to be so suspenseful. And you're asking, hold on, we're praying, we're fasting in Ramadan, we're asking to save from the hellfire, ya Rabb, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the hellfire, why do we still have to walk over it for? Well, one of the wisdoms that some of the scholars mentioned is that you'll never appreciate Jannah. You'll never appreciate a gift. You'll never appreciate a bounty to this full amount until you know how the other side looks. You'll never appreciate this arm that you have. These five fingers that they can move and you can grab things and you can hold things and you can squeeze, right? You can scratch your face, right? You'll never appreciate that until it's gone. Man, I don't want, a'udhu billah, I never want no one to lose their hand or lose their arm or lose their sight or lose their smell or lose their hearing, right? Or lose a limb. But there's no, the ultimate one that will all, the one to the most that will appreciate something is if they lose that certain thing of theirs. You lose your car, you know how much that would help you. You lose your house, you lose your wallet, right? People, whatever it may be, then you what? As a saying goes, you don't know a good thing until it's gone, right? It's not a hadith, but anyhow, it's a good saying. Yeah, I know it might be from a song, but anyhow, I don't want to bring up songs right now. But anyhow, right? But the thing is, though, that's true. You don't know a good thing until it's gone. Your parents, right? Subhanallah, right? Take advantage of this. They're there all the time. You know, they help you for this, help you for that, right? They might have their flaws here and there, but our parents, mashallah, I mean, they do a lot of things. Right? May Allah bless them, right? And protect them and forgive them. But hear that, you know, you're not going to really know the true nature of them and how much you love them, how much you miss them until they're gone, subhanAllah. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we're going to really appreciate Jannah. Really going to appreciate that of the mercy that Allah gave us to enter us to Jannah if we know that how Jahannam looks like. If we know that we were saved from it, right? And then that's when we will truly appreciate it. We all know we get spoiled, right? Sometimes people give you money, you get allowance, you get a paycheck, whatever, like, alhamdulillah, it's good. But you don't know how much that really feels until you actually, you know, really need that check. When you're going, you know, paycheck to paycheck, right? You really appreciate that, where that came from. That's why I was work at one time, they're all doing this, you know, direct deposit. Everyone kind of does direct deposit. And, you know, at work, I was telling my boss, you know, I want to have the physical check, you know, delivered to me at my desk, if you don't mind. He's like, okay, no problem. And then they give it to me because they're kind of not angry, a little frustrated that, you know, we have to print your check. Only like a couple people in the whole company has this, that does this. Like, why do you want to, everyone just get direct deposit, you know, why don't you just have that? But I'm like, no, I want to physically see that. I want to appreciate that, you know, let that be in my hand, you know, and you see that money. When this goes in your account, yeah, you know, we all know, we don't even know when it goes in, right? You don't know if it came today or tomorrow, you know, you have to really check up to it. You know, you see a number come up on your account, et cetera. But when you see it and you cash it, it just feels, it's a little bit different when it's in your hand, okay? I'm not saying you don't have to do direct deposit. I'm not saying it's bad. But anyhow, there's a difference in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says everyone will have to pass over Jahannam, right? And that will be a subhanAllah sight to see, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them good news. Even when they read this verse, people were scared. We're going to have to pass over Jahannam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a verse right after that. ثم ننجي الذين اتقوا. Then we will save those. Everyone has to pass over it. You might think about, oh, if people have to pass over, they're probably going to fall in it. No, you have to pass over it. But Allah said, we will save those. نجي الذين. We will give them najah. We will save those that have taqwa. Those who had consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they didn't look at images that they shouldn't be looking at. They didn't spend their money in ways that they shouldn't be spending. They didn't earn the money that the ways they shouldn't be spending. They didn't talk to people the way they shouldn't be doing, right? And it's called taqwa. That's what we're fasting for. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That we have this taqwa, right? We're not eating. Even though no one can see me right now, I'm locked in this room right here. I could grab something. There's actually a cup of water right here, right? But no one's going to be silly enough to do that. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So just like that, as we can stay away from food, even though water is sitting right there, my mouth is all dry, I'm slurring words that you're probably hearing, right? Is that we won't do it because Allah's watching us. And it's the same lesson we give to little kids, right? You know, watch out, Allah's watching you, right? I'm going to go, I'm over here. Don't, you know, play with these toys. I don't grab this from the table, right? Trying to teach them a little bit taqwa, teach them a little bit awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for the grown-ups, they need the same thing, right? Also. So that thing, Allah said, those who have taqwa, then we will save them. نَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جَثِيَّةً. And leave the wrongdoers within it on their knees. That the wrongdoers there are the ones that will end up falling into that. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ we seek Allah's protection from Jahannam. أَقِينَا ذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَذَابِ النَّارِ. Allah save us from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. As we're moving along here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Taha gives us a beautiful story now of Musa alayhi salam. Now Musa alayhi salam, and actually this is not the translation of it. This is actually the translation from Surah, the same Surah. I forgot to, I guess I must have missed, I didn't get to update it here. So, I apologize for that. Let me see if I can just fix that really quick. So we don't want to make sure people don't think that it is the wrong surah there. Anyhow, I will just do a translation myself, inshallah, as we go over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Musa alayhi salam in Surah Taha. Surah Taha is very beautiful. It talks a lot about Musa alayhi salam. As some of the scholars said, that the Quran almost became the story of Musa alayhi salam, because it's mentioned so many times within the Quran. And there's a reason for that, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his community, us as Muslims, most resemble Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel. There's a lot of lessons that we could take from them because we're very similar to them. They're one of the largest communities that believed in a prophet. From all the stories you have in the Quran, from Nuh alayhi salam, from Yusuf alayhi salam, from Ya'qub alayhi salam, from Da'ud and Sulaiman, and all the prophets, may Allah be pleased with all of them, and Isa and Jesus, peace be upon them, you only find that the largest following that's kind of mentioned is from Musa alayhi salam. And the Muslims obviously are much larger than that, so there's a lot of lessons that we can learn and how to deal with our prophet, and don't make the mistakes of the children of Israel, how they dealt with their prophets, you know, and how they gave them a hard time, as mentioned in multiple places in the Quran, right? And the Prophet is very similar to Musa alayhi salam, right? He had to migrate out of his town, just like Musa alayhi salam had to leave Egypt and cross throughout the Red Sea, and go to another place to live, right? Because he had been persecuted, just like the Prophet was persecuted, etc., and many other things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a story here about when Musa alayhi salam was a little inty binty baby, right? He was a very small little baby and his mother just gave birth to him. And it was a dream that Fir'aun, the leader in Egypt at that time, had, that his throne will be taken away from a person, a child that was born from Bani Israel, from the Jews or the children of Israel. And he knew that. And he believed in that dream. And so he decided that Fir'aun is a crazy guy, that, you know what, I'm just going to, the one way that I could save myself is to kill all the male-born children from the children of Israel. right, from the Jews at that time. If I just will just kill all them off, then guess what? I will succeed and I will live on. Okay. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan doesn't matter what you try to do. You might think, okay, I could kill all the boys and then know it, that's it. I could overcome that plan. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still prevail. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises his mother, Musa alayhi salam's mother, whose name is not given in the Quran, but tells her to do something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, where he says, إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَىٰ أَنِقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَقْذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمِّ بِالسَّاحِلِ يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُوٌّ لِي وَعَدُوٌّ لَهُ وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ الْمُحَبَّةً مِنِّي لِيُتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the mother of Musa alayhi salam. Okay, she's not a prophet, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give her something we call ilham, inspiration, to do certain things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that he gave this inspiration to the mother of Musa alayhi salam to cast her little baby Musa, in a tabut, in a basket or some type of basket or something like this, if you will. And I have no other word other than basket come in my head right now, right? A box, if you will, or something like that. Put him in a tabut, put him in there and put him and fling him down into the Yem, into the river. I understand the river Nile. And the river Nile has a strong current to it. Sometimes it looks very calm, but there is, of course, certain parts of the current is very strong. So put your baby in a basket and put them into the river. Okay, I think any moms out there, those who know mothers or even fathers, if you put a baby in a basket, that's one thing. Okay, alhamdulillah. But you put it in and put it down a river, if there's a wave that comes, that basket just turns over just a little bit, that's it. That baby, we all know, does not know how to swim. There's no life jacket on that baby. It's all over, okay? And if water's seeping through a basket, you know, in the bottom, right, or something, if it hits a rock, if it goes, and there's so many things wrong that could happen. If the baby himself tries to come out of the basket and tries to come back to the mother, that could tip it over. It doesn't look like a great plan right here, right? You know, put the baby in a basket and put it down the river. You know, we love our kids so much. You know, you don't want to just put them in down a river. You know, maybe there's some other plan we could do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the mother of Musa alayhi salam this. And says what? That فَلْيُلْقِيهِ عَلْيَمْ بِالسَّحِ, that the river, right, will cast the basket over to the shores of the river, shores of the banks of the river. Okay? So then she's saying, okay, alhamdulillah. I was a little scared. You know, I'm going to put the baby in the river. Okay, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you that it's going to be cast on the shores of the river. Don't worry. Okay. And what ya'khudhuhu, and what's an enemy will take him. An enemy to me and an enemy to him. An enemy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and an enemy to Musa alayhi salam is going to end up taking him. So you're like, that doesn't look like a great plan now. It was okay, you know, put a baby in the ocean or the river. Okay, you know, might fall over. Okay, Allah says, don't worry, it's going to come up on the shore. Okay, alhamdulillah, good. And then an enemy is going to take the baby. And you're like, an enemy to Allah, an enemy to him. Out of all people, you know, why would that be the plan? You know, it's very, very hard, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مُحَبَّةً مِنِّي, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put love for him. What? And he will be raised up under the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she's feeling maybe a little bit better, right? Well, this is tough, right? And you can imagine that we all kind of know the story that Musa alayhi salam, as a little baby, comes up to the shores of what? To the palace of Fir'aun. Out of all the houses in that whole riverbank on the Nile River, where that basket could show up, it shows up to the river on the steps of the palace of Fir'aun, the one that wanted to kill the male children of Bani Israel, right? But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. And we all know the story here. I didn't put all the rest of the verses, but the Pharaoh takes that baby, right? And his wife kind of understood that she couldn't have children. So she wanted to keep it. Okay. She wanted to keep the baby and take care of it. And so they kept it. And alhamdulillah, Musa alayhi salam is now growing up in the palace of Pharaoh. It can't get any better than that, right? The best doctors are going to be there. The best food is going to be there. All the guards are going to be there, right? Yeah, but Allah SWT says that's going to be an enemy to him and an enemy to me, okay? And subhanAllah, here I put the word trust here, because sometimes we think about things and we're like, that doesn't sound like a good plan. Why do I have to live in this condition? Why do I have to, you know, get this type of job? Why did I have to go to this college, right? Why did my child have this? Why do I have this sickness? It doesn't seem like a great plan, putting a baby down a river. And then, okay, get saved. But getting saved to someone's going to be an enemy to him. Like, it does, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But we have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the mother of Musa alayhi salam, right? Right? How much trust did she have in following the plan, in believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, Allah, you're going to take care of him. I'm going to put him down this river. You know, somehow, Allah, you're going to make it work, right? And that's the attitude and that's the vision that we have to see. And that's why there's countless stories like this in the Quran. From Yusuf alayhi salam getting thrown out into a well. The outcome of it is stick with Allah's plan, have faith in him. We all know what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? Getting thrown into a fire. But that leads to him to miraculous things afterwards, right? Being father of so many different prophets that end up coming. And coming back from his lineage, right? And all the stuff that he did in his life. And many other stories. And this is why it's constantly in this Quran. Because me and you are going to face many things. That we say, you know, we make dua for one thing. And then we see something else. We're like, I don't think that might be the best plan. But you stick with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Musa, you know, if you go on with this story, we all know that Musa alayhi salam will not breastfeed from any of the women in that palace and would not eat. So therefore, everyone in that palace is worrying about this baby. He's going to die if he doesn't breastfeed. Obviously, you know, he's not going to eat, you know, food, right? Especially as a baby, maybe he could chop it up or something. Maybe he might digest something. And we all know that it's his sister of Musa alayhi salam goes to the palace and say, you know what? I know a lady that might be able to breastfeed that child. And of course, it's the mother of Musa alayhi salam that shows up on the steps of the palace of Fir'aun. And he lets her in. And she ends up feeding the baby. And of course, the baby takes from the mother. And now she is now in the palace of Fir'aun, taking care of her own son, right? And if you look at it, it looks really grim. But what happens at the end of the tunnel? At the end of the tunnel, she ends up coming right back to Musa. Thought that she lost her son. I'm never going to see him again. Going down this river, I don't know what bank where he's gonna end up on, right? It says it's gonna be some enemy to him. I don't know where that is. What's his address? I don't know the address, right? It's gonna go down that river. I'm probably not gonna see my son again, right? And even though mothers out there and any parents who lost their children, we know a child, that is something subhanAllah, you know, one of the hardest things that could hit the heart of human beings, right? But look at the end. She could be saying, oh my gosh, subhanAllah, please help him, you know, take care of him, like you said. But it comes back that what? She ends up meeting right back with her son. It only was just a small time, right? Only a small time that they were away from each other. But Allah reunited them. Yusuf alayhi salam, same thing. Put down in a well. Didn't see his dad for many years. But it turns out that his parents come back to him. And now they're living in a palace again with him. Very similar to this story here, subhanAllah. But the point of my brother and sister, know it might not be, that might not be the case for all of us. Maybe we're not going to end up living in palaces, right? From what we go through, right? But the same principle applies to both stories. And that is the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That the one that is, that we believe in, and the one that inshallah ta'ala, that we know that his plan is the best plan, and we have faith in it, even though it might look grim, inshallah ta'ala, we believe in it. So that's what I want to mention there. Let me just, the next thing inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about in Surah Nur. Let me Let me just check my time here. Sorry about that, because I don't have my watch in front of me. So go back here really quick. Surah Nur. So we're going to go to another verse here. And this, so Surah Nur is a chapter number 24 in the Quran as we're moving along. And I wanted to highlight verse number 22. But first, before I do that, I want to talk a little about Surah Nur. Surah Nur, Allahu Akbar, is a very beautiful surah. It has a lot of, we say, qawaid, has a lot of rules in it, and very stern rules. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses very serious crimes in this chapter, and that is a crime of adultery and fornication. And he might say adultery and fornication in our society, everyone's like, big deal. You know, people sleep with this person, people do this, people do that. You know, it's not a crime. No, no. Under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rules, that is a very hideous crime. That's one of the worst things, because you're destroying families, right? You're destroying children that are born in situations that maybe they're those parents, right, that didn't plan very well, are now having to take care of a child. And we know there's a lot of single parents out there in our country because of stuff like this, where people don't protect their modesty. And also, this is one way that could break up families, where people have outer marriage relationships while they're married. That's what we call adultery. And that brings up a plethora amount of issues in that relationship, and divorce. And now children have to witnessing parents separated, and a box of other issues and problems that occurs for that, because people cannot stay chaste and people cannot keep control of their desires. And so one thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that in Surah Nur, and addresses the concept of hijab, and addresses the concept of lowering your gaze and not lusting and looking at women or looking at men, but looking down when you're talking to a man or a woman, when you're addressing them, so your eyes don't wander and don't lead to certain things, as the eyes are really well connected to the heart. So what you see is what you end up you wanting and love. To be very careful for that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about other things that are much on the lighter side of that, that He is Allah Nur Samawati wal Ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and earth. And that's why this surah gets its name Nur, light, because it's a very beautiful verse where Allah says He's the light of the heavens and earth. And He goes over a parable of that's very beautiful in nature that we all should read and try to understand, inshallah ta'ala. But I wanted to go over this verse here. Right. And when we talk about here that I would like some forgiveness, please, I'd like to order some forgiveness. I'll take that any day. And we definitely all need that from different wrongs that we do. All right. And sometimes, and strongly believe this, a lot of times that we do wrong and we're just not aware of it. Right. We talk so much, we post so much, we chat in groups. Right. But it's easy to say something and then someone just takes it and gets offended by it, and you have no idea that happened, right? And they might be too shy to come up to you and say, you know what, you said this and it affected me. Did you mean this to me? What was your intention, right? And sometimes that doesn't get addressed, okay? And so there's so many things that happens, and sometimes we think that, you know what, I think I'm fine. I don't think I do anything wrong to anybody, and that can be very deceiving. So we always want to ask for forgiveness of things that, like we say, we do, we treat, we post things, right? We say things to people, right, that we might offend someone, and we just are not aware of it because either we're not paying attention or some other reason. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about an incident that's also mentioned in Surah Nur that happens to the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just to give a little background, I was just putting my picture up here, is that there's an incident where Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at one time was going out, coming back from a battle that she accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. And so what happened, the caravan in short stopped. She came out to use the restroom, and the caravan thought that she was on the camel, and it has like a curtain around it, so they thought that she was there. And the caravan left her out in the desert. And she was obviously worried about, oh my gosh, can't believe I'm out here in the desert. And so it was someone that found her and couldn't believe that the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is out in the desert, and ended up walking back with her into Medina. And there was a nasty, astaghfirullah, terrible rumor that was going around saying that that the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did something with this man. Astaghfirullah. How would you even think about the wife of the Prophet, someone that's so chaste, that has a different, you know, status in terms of modesty and chastity more than anyone that we could have, right, as being the wife of the Prophet. And of course, the people that did it were people that wanted to cause harm to the Muslims and make the Prophet look bad. And so what happened is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that is the father of Aisha radiallahu anha, used to give money out to a certain relative of his. His name was Mishtah, I believe. And he used to give charity to him, and almost like a monthly type allowance, if you will, to him, something on a constant nature. And so what happened is that because this man, his own cousin, was one of the ones that used to, was going around and spreading this rumor, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, you know what? If that's the case, I'm not going to give you any more charity, because I can't believe it. You're my own family, and you're the one spreading this false rumor around about my daughter Aisha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How could you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this in this chapter, in this verse here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse here, it says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْأُقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَّا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and let not those of virtue among you, talking to the believers, talking to the Muslim, don't let the ones who have virtue among you, the tafsir mentioned that this is talking about Abu Bakr, the one who has virtue, he definitely has virtue, and wealth, swear not to give aid to their relatives, and the needy, and the immigrants for the cause of Allah, and let them pardon and overlook. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the scholars of tafsir mentioned, that this is talking about Abu Bakr, as he stopped giving his charity from his relative that we just mentioned, right? Because of this incident. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even of how terrible this rumor is, that you shouldn't stop this good act that you are doing. And let not those of virtue among you and wealth swear not to give aid to their relative. No, no, continue that. But hold on, that's the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can't talk bad about her and then still give people money and aid these people. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is correct in the way that we think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us our mannerism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches how we conduct ourselves, not what we learn from movies and not what we learn from sitcoms and TV shows, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the way that you're supposed to act, okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. Allah says you should pardon and forgive them, right? You should pardon and forgive them. Allah tuhibbuna an yaghfira Allahu lakum. Look, this is one of the best, one of my favorite verses in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wouldn't you love that Allah will forgive you? Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Ghafoor and Rahim. So here we learn from this verse when we say, I would like some forgiveness, please. Well, if you would like some forgiveness, please, then you have to make sure that you forgive my dear brothers and sisters. And one thing we mentioned that I wanted to mention is that sometimes, like I could go on for a while on this topic point here, is that sometimes these people say, you know what, I understand your point, Shahid, you know, forgive, you know, we should forgive, we shall rahmah, you know, I hear it all the time. But some people do some really bad things, and you don't know what people have done to me. You know, I go to someone else, you're like, well, you don't know what people have done to me. This person took our inheritance, my father left me, right? Didn't even notify me, took it, and I was, you know, that would have helped me in my situation. This person said this about my wife and spread it around the neighborhood, in the community. This person didn't invite me to their wedding. Oh my gosh, astaghfirullah, I can't believe it. You didn't invite me to your son's wedding. I wanted to come. I had a brand new suit I was going to wear, but you didn't invite me. I'm not going to forgive you, right? I came in the masjid. You didn't say salamu alaikum to me. Oh my God, I'm dying. I can't believe you didn't say salamu alaikum to me. You're off my list. I'm never going to say salamu alaikum to you ever again. nope, I will not even look your way. I'm not going to talk to you, right? And this is how sometimes we treat our family members. And this is a family member of Abu Bakr. And of course, people in our community, right? For little small things. And we're going to come on Yawm al-Qiyamah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, Ya Rab, you know, I didn't pray for X amount of years. Now, I was in college. I was a teenager. I was doing something else, Ya Rab. Oh, Allah, I used to do this. Allah, I said this to this person. We're going to come with things that are much greater than not saying salamu alaikum to somebody or not inviting someone to their wedding. And then what we're going to do, we're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rab, please forgive me, Ya Rab. On Laylatul Qadr, you're going to be saying, Allah, please forgive me, Ya Rab. These last 10 nights, Allah, please forgive me. I want your rahmah, your ghafoor, your raheem. We need, please forgive me for all that I've said and what I've done for my spouse, to my children, to my parents, to co-workers, to this, and I missed this prayers. I know what, I haven't paid zakat in so many years, and I, etc. Right? Everyone has a list. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving, we have to make sure that we are forgiving ourselves. As Allah says, pardon and forgive. Wouldn't you like Allah to forgive you? It's a rhetorical question, but it's like almost like a condition that if you pardon and you forgive, then Allah will forgive you. But if you don't pardon and forgive, then Allah will maybe not forgive you, right? That's what Allah is trying to hint here. He's trying to give us a picture in this verse. It's quite clear, right? And so here that we have to practice this. That yes, I would like some forgiveness, please. That we have to make sure that yes, I'm willing to give some forgiveness also, please, right? So it's a give and take type of relationship. And this is sunnatullah. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does think that we mentioned, you could pick up themes in the Quran where Allah wants us to take that step first and then he comes and helps us with tremendous amount of bounty, okay? Even though we took a small little step. So here, brothers and sisters, we want to make sure we ponder on this verse to make sure that we are individuals of that forgive. So inshallah ta'ala, that all of us will be of those that receive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Ameen ya Rabbil Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make of those the ruhana, make of those who are show rahmah, that we can receive your rahmah ya Rahman ya Rahim. Ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, we could be a part of that. The next verse I wanted to go over is it's a little faded out here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in Surah Shu'ara, right? Very beautiful surah, right? Surah number 26 in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again, one of my favorite verses also, verse number 88 and verse number 89, talks about the heart. Now, I put the title here, disinfect that heart. Everyone's disinfecting their hands. You got so much Purell on your hands, Clorox wipes, right? Lysol wipes, right? You know, wiping down tables, wiping down, you know, everything that comes in the house, groceries, Amazon packages coming into the house, wipe that down. No one touch it. Touch the doorbell. Oh my gosh, I don't want to touch the doorbell. Right? So kind of the whole coronavirus thing is making people go being germaphobes, right? And probably for obvious reasons, right? And shall may Allah protect us and help us that we don't get sick and heal those that are sick and let them reflect on you, Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen. But we also want to make sure that we keep our heart clean, disinfect it, not from necessarily germs, of course from germs, but here from spiritual illnesses, if you will. From what are spiritual illnesses? Envy, jealousy, anger, hatred, the love of this world, right? Being neglectful of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Love with too much material things, etc. All these things that can affect this heart in a spiritual sense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here in Surah Shu'ara, where he says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the day, talking about the day of judgment, where there'll be no benefit from anyone from their wealth and their children. Ya Allah, I have some money in my bank account. I could give it to you. I could put it on my scale of good deeds. You know, I can get into Jannah, inshallah. Does that work? No. Right? But we're fighting and chasing for that salary. We're fighting and chasing for a lot of dunya, a lot of wealth, property, houses, cars, right? Wala banoon, and your children. And one thing that people like to brag up, two things about, is their wealth. right? Look at my granite kitchen tops. Look at the tile. Look at the new furniture. Look at the drapes that I got in my house. Look at my Tesla, right? Right. Look at my nice jacket, right? Look at my watch, all these, you know, rings, jewelry, right? That's mad. That's wealth. People love bragging about that type of stuff. Makes them feel good. Okay. False feeling good, but anyhow. And their children, right? People love saying, oh, my son's a doctor. Oh, my son's an engineer. My son memorized the whole Quran, right? My son is did this. My son is student of the month at this school, right? You know, it's good to be proud of your children. Of course, please be proud of your children. Your children need that, right? Need you to motivate them and be proud of them and say, good job, definitely. But then obviously there's a point where there's like bragging now, right? And boasting, right? My family is so-and-so. Have you ever heard that before? My family is great. My family doesn't do anything wrong, right? So that people like to boast about that. Allah says, you know what your family did, and my dad was this person, and my grandfather was this in the village, and my this uncle was this person that built this masjid and built this. Bragging about that family stuff, you know, that's good. Alhamdulillah, they did. May Allah bless them and reward them, right? But that's not going to benefit you on the Day of Judgment. What is really going to benefit you? Illa man atallahu biqalbin salim. That whoever comes to Allah with a qalb, a heart, that is salim, that is sound, that is pure. And some people say, some narrators mention, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that this means that a heart that has no shirk, that has no associating partners with Allah inside of it, only worships Allah, right? No showing off that's mixed in worshiping Allah, right? I worship Allah, but I show off so much, it's almost like people want people to worship me, right? My Instagram, my posts I have on Facebook, right? This position I am at work, that I have this letters after my name because I'm a PhD, I'm a, you know, lawyer, I'm a this, etc., right? But here, no, is that the heart that is pure, obviously pure of spiritual diseases, right? That take off the hatred for people. Take away that, you know, jealousy, that envy that you have. Because if you think about it, it makes any sense. You can't go to Jannah and the heart is not salim. That, oh, I still hate this person. I can't, you know, I don't like this person. Now, you have a palace? Why is your palace bigger than mine? People are not going to be arguing in Jannah about their palace is bigger than someone else's palace, or that, you know, why did you get 3 cars and I only got this much, you know? And that won't be in the heart, right? Or you see someone that you had an issue with in this world, you're like, what are you doing here? Oh, heck no. No way. You did this. And people, that's not where Jannah. That is Jahannam. That is not Jannah. That's Jahannam. Okay, that's another place here. But people's heart, as Allah wants to also mention another verse that really, there's any type of envy and jealousy will be taken out of the heart of the people of Jannah. And of course is that we want to make sure that we clean up the heart now so that inshallah ta'ala, we won't have these issues in this world and we won't have it, of course, in the hereafter, right? We want to have that pure heart. And working on your heart, especially these days in the month, these days in the Ramadan, the last 10 nights, if you have any of these things, and like I said, no one really admits that, yeah, I'm an envious person. I'm really jealous of other people. No one really says that, right? No one wants to put themselves down like that, you know? Like, yeah, I love dunya a lot. Oh my gosh, I love so much cars. Oh my, all these different things. You know, I have a hatred heart. And no one really says that. So we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Kareem, Allah, give us a qalb as-saleem. Take away spiritual illnesses from our heart. Take away envy. Take away hatred. Take away, you know, jealousy. Take away, you know, love for this world from it. Take away boasting and bragging and pride. You know, there's a plethora of different of diseases that affect the heart here, right? And ask Allah sincerely to give you that heart that is sound, right? As some of the scholars mentioned also in a hadith that's quite long, but I'll kind of summarize it because I only have a couple minutes left, that the Prophet ﷺ one time saw a man and told him that, you know, he is a man of Jannah. And so some of the companions wonder, why is he a man of Jannah for? And the end of the story, in short, the man says, you know, every time I lay in my head and go back to sleep at nighttime, I forgive everybody that maybe did anything to me, I forgive them. And I clear out my heart from that, right? A spiritual dumping of all that stuff that I don't have, just take it out. As you take the trash out every night from the house, right? Same thing, you want to take all of that trash that's in the heart to keep that heart salim, keep that heart pure, right? And that takes practice. It just doesn't come with ease. And you have to tell yourself, oh, and you have to make dua for it, you know? And one of the best things to do, my dear brothers and sisters, and maybe this is the last thing I can end on, if we have the spiritual sicknesses in our hearts for people or envy or jealousy, the best way to get rid of that is to make dua for that person, right? Call them out by name. Don't say, oh, Allah bless all the Muslims. No, no, no. Say, oh, Allah, Hamza. Allah bless him and give him more. And you are the one that maybe have some issues with Hamza having in this type of car or that type of house, right? But you say, no, Allah, give him more, bless him more. And if you get that sincerely, then you're scraping that out of the heart, right? Oh, Allah, give these people, this family, more children. And you might have an issue because their children better than your children, maybe. Or they're going to this school and they're college, and your children maybe are not going to these colleges. And you get some envy and jealousy, like, why? I taught my kids so much and I did, right? And so therefore, you naturally start getting jealous of them, okay? So to bring out those people's names, right? And that's one way that inshallah you can scrape that out of the heart. And so these are some of the highlighted verses I wanted to go over. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us of being individuals that do tadabbur al-Quran, that ponder on the verses of the Quran and take lessons on it. And more importantly, are acting on it. At the end, we'll make dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to send you peace and blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to take away envy, our hatred, and diseases, our spiritual diseases from our heart, Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to save us from the fire of Jahannam. Help us pass over it safely, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us of those that forgive, so we can earn your forgiveness, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wasalatu wasalamu ala Rasulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. Inshallah, I hope that you benefit from this program. We have one more Quranic gem session next Wednesday. Please join us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in these days. Accept it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.